The violence is just escalating. And the government of Mexico does not seem to have a handle on it. The overarching strategy of the government of Mexico is to weaken the drug trafficking organizations to the point that they are no longer a national security threat, but merely a public safety threat.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, cartels and carnage, the drug war in Mexico.
Mexico is a country in crisis. In the last 4 years, more than 28,000 people have been killed in drug-related violence that has overwhelmed the government and left the Mexican people fearful and demanding action. Putting an end to the carnage and the cartels is no easy task, notes fellow Wanda Felbod-Brown as she examines this complicated issue.
The fear that the border is on the U.S. side is very violent and very dangerous really are in many ways unsubstantiated. However, the violence in Mexico is very serious and very acute. The latest numbers are that more than 28,000 people died since President Calderon took office in 2006. Those are very, very serious, very acute numbers. And for a long time, the government of Mexico took the attitude where the violence, the murders are mainly occurring among members of the drug trafficking organization, and so that's okay. But it's not a viable argument for several reasons. That although they might be shooting at each other, the criminals shooting at criminals, the bullets are nonetheless flying on Mexico's street and they are affecting ordinary Mexicans. And in fact, they are affecting ordinary Mexicans to a greater and a greater degree.
Violence in Mexico continues to escalate, yet the Mexican government insists that this is a sign that their strategy is working.
The strategy that the government of Mexico adopted to weakening the drug trafficking organization is one that focuses on arresting or killing what they define as high-value targets, so the heads of the organizations. But it is precisely this policy that is generating a lot of the violence, because as the heads are captured or caught, this generates instability on the market, and the organizations start fighting among each other and bidding each other for who will control the organization, who will control territory. And at the same time, the government of Mexico has, with U.S. assistance, has undertaken a major effort to reduce the pervasive and utter corruption that law enforcement in Mexico experiences. With that, again, some of the corrupt officials have been removed. In fact, many have been removed, but the system is really very deeply and pervasively corrupt. But that generates more insecurity from the perspective of the narcos, because they don't know which police they now can trust, which police works for them. And so this generates further violence.
The idea for decriminalizing or legalizing some drugs in Mexico seems to be picking up speed. What's going on with that?
I do not believe that the idea that drugs will be legalized will destroy or weaken cartels really holds. There is very little evidence that this takes place. If you look at organized crime groups, they usually have very high capability to switch from one form of illegal commodity, smuggling illegal commodity, to another. Moreover, as they become more and more sophisticated, they take on proto-state function, and they really function as non-state entities who organize how society, including economy, is organized in the areas they control. And this is what we are seeing with the Mexican cartels. They no longer simply smuggle drugs. They want to control who are the coyotes, the smugglers that can take migrants into the United States across the border. They have moved very aggressively to control prostitution and human smuggling. They are increasingly simply trying to charge who operates on the Socalo, whether a person can sell, I don't know, pirated CDs or even legal made products like jewelry, for example, and how much they will pay to them.
The Mexican government is displeased with the U.S. because it feels that the United States is not doing enough to stop the flow of guns and money into Mexico. Is that right?
It can be portrayed that the violence in Mexico is somehow a function of these three factors, the U.S. Market and the weapons and money flows from the U.S., where I would argue that's not the case. And in fact, it was not the case in Mexico a decade ago, where the consumption was still in the U.S. and the money and the weapons were still coming from the U.S. and Mexico, and the situation in Mexico was far less violent. It is the collapse of the Mexican law enforcement after decades of neglect and corruption, and at the same time, the growing strength of the drug trafficking organizations and the policies that triggered the warfare among the drug trafficking groups that are the reason why the market is so violent.
Vanda, many Americans feel that what's going on in Mexico will spill over into our country. So what can the United States do?
Allowing law enforcement to do what it does very well, community policing, has good relations with community, and setting the institutional legal framework for U.S. law enforcement is very important, as well as allowing law enforcement to focus on what the key priority is, which is preventing organized crime from becoming too strong, from having the ability to corrupt or coerce communities, so that we don't see the violence like Mexico is experiencing. That means making choices over is it equally important to be catching illegal immigrants who come to the U.S. because they want jobs, or is it more important to focus on violent, dangerous crime groups that kidnap people and try to extort people? Of course, if the U.S. passes immigration reform that will allow workers to come into the U.S. legally, and that will be a great help both for communities in the U.S. as well as for law enforcement, that would help to solve a lot of the difficulties that the border is experiencing.
Vanda, thank you so much for your time here today.
My pleasure.
I'm Gigi Hinton. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week at Brookings.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.